Today had been an off day. One I'd pay for. Knowing Jane, it would take me weeks to convince her to let me babysit again. A pocket door slid open in my periphery. Cropped blonde hair peeked out from it, followed slowly by the head of my brother-in-law. "Hey, Dave," I said. He glanced around the room like he was searching for threats. The lights from the nearby Christmas tree sparkled in the reflection of his black-framed glasses. His gaze landed on me, expression flat.
"Go now, Ella, while you still can."
Another thud echoed through the house, followed by Jane's raised voice. Dave gave me a meaningful look and slid his office door closed. I muffled my laughter as I made my escape. Jane wouldn't thank me for it right now. Outside, the winter wind whipped the freshly fallen snow into a flurry. It spiraled into the spill of fluorescent white shining from the rear floodlights and coalesced into the Arctic version of a dust devil. The direction of the breeze shifted, and the mini snow tornado split in two. For a brief moment, it was like I walked past a pair of enchanted winter sprites, twining around each other at an Antarctican ball. I could almost hear Jack Frost playing the ice pipes in the distance as he urged them on. A heartbeat later, the wind died down, and they fell back to the ground, inanimate once more. I smiled as my boots crunched over the freshly shoveled walkway. Evergreens crowded the driveway, their boughs weighed down by today's snowfall. The steam from my breath hung in front of my face before drifting up and away. I tilted my head back to watch it dissipate. Above me, stars ripped through the velvety expanse of the night sky like a shotgun blast. I loved winter. It was my favorite season, a time to gather, to hunker down with friends and family, while storms raged outside. Afterward, everything was so clean and bright. It made it easy to ignore, if only for a little while, all the troubles of the world. The sound of muted whining brought me back to myself. I'd left my truck idling in the driveway. Two dark blobs were pressed against the driver's side window. I moved closer, and the snouts those blobs were attached to came into focus. My rescue huskies, Fred and Sam, stared at me from the other side of the glass. I waved my arms at them. "Get your drooly noses off the window!" Sam yipped in response, which taunted a bark out of Fred, which Sam had to answer. By the time I reached the vehicle, they were howling. I wrenched open the door. "Would you two be quiet? You're going to—" A deep, keening bay rose to answer them from far too close. I froze, the hair on the back of my neck standing on end. Sam and Fred shared a panicked look before racing into the safety of the back seat, where they huddled down like a pair of rabbits in a thicket. More howls joined the first, forming an unholy chorus. Low growls punched through the cacophony. A high-pitched yelp rang out, like some sort of demonic soprano. My skin prickled in goosebumps that had nothing to do with the cold. The surrounding woods were carpeted with deep snow, causing sound waves to diffract in a way that made it difficult to judge the distance of the noises. I couldn't tell if the animals making them were a mile away or about to burst through the nearest tree line and rush at me in a seething frenzy of fur and teeth. The howls broke off, a low, mournful note lingering in the air long after the others fell away. "It's just coy dogs," I told Fred and Sam. They didn't look convinced. I climbed into the truck and shut the door. My thick gloves made it impossible to do much else, so I yanked one off with my teeth, dug my phone out of my heavy jacket, and dialed Dave's number.
"Yo,"
he said, by way of greeting. "Did you hear that?"
"Your dogs? Or the wolves?"
I sucked in a breath. "They're back?"
"The wolves that the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service insists we don't